5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Aha, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike Smith.
And we are off and running right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Talking all things NFL. A lot to get to today. Aaron Rodgers speaks out. J.J. Watt on the PUP list. Kelvin Benjamin ripping Joe Judge, George. But we'll start in Big D. Dak Prescott practiced yesterday, looked good early on, and then all of a sudden, he walks into the locker room, some shoulder soreness. Are you concerned for the Cowboys in 2021?
I like how you go over everything, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But let's ruin George's day and talk about Dak Prescott. All right, thanks. Thanks so much for that. You like Gabe Morenci, always likes to make sure he gets the Yankees in, how bad they're playing at the end of the show. Thanks. Appreciate it. Listen, all in all, I don't think this is all that much. I think it's a couple of days, maybe a week, you know, at most that he'll be out for. So, no, I'm not all that worried. It'd be more concerning if he was a rookie. You know, missing a week of camp, maybe 10 days on the outside. That would concern me more. In this case, you know, they probably need a break anyway. He's not going to play in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. He wasn't anyway. And he was never going to play in that game next week. So, no, I'm not all that worried about this. That being said, I'm also assuming they're telling the truth, which I know sometimes is kind of silly. You know, when does a coach lie? When their mouths move. That's generally when they're lying.
Well, George, here's where, when I first read it, I said it's no big deal, right? You know, first couple of practices back, he's been out of the mix a little bit, he's got to get acclimated. Of course, there's going to be soreness, right? And then I thought about it a little bit deeper. I said, he's coming off the ACL injury, right? Is he wearing a brace in camp? Most likely. And then, is his throwing mechanics, have they changed due to the injury? That would be a concern for me. Is he overcompensating in terms of his feet? Is he twisting his body a little bit more not to put pressure on that knee, right? Because maybe he's still a little ginger. It's still a little sore for that matter. Is that a concern for you as a Cowboy fan? Do we have to monitor this? If they are telling us the truth in terms of Dak Prescott, is this a situation that we have to monitor in terms of the first couple of games of this upcoming season?
Well, he's not coming off an ACL. He broke his foot, / ankle, right? He got tackled by the Giants. I think it was by Julius Peppers offhand.
Right, you're right, you're right. My bad on that. You're right.
Not the ACL. That being said, you know, I say this.
It's still a leg injury, though, right?
Right. Yeah, I say this quite often. When it comes to preseason, I don't watch a lot, or I don't care about a lot of preseason games, with the exception of player battles at positions. I want to see who's looking good and injuries. So, yeah, I want to see make sure his mechanics are running correctly, that he's not, you know, he's throwing differently now because he's worried about the foot. Yeah, or maybe more importantly in Dak's case, is he going to run still? Right? Is he going to run still? Is he not going to be that guy? Not that he's not a running quarterback and nowhere near like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or someone like that, but someone who could run on occasion. Are they still going to run that kind of offense? You know, so I'm more, probably more curious about that than anything else. Will Dallas still allow him to run?
That's going to be the intriguing part. You know, how does this offense look with Dak Prescott in 2021? And they were able to put up points last year as we welcome in our Sports Map radio audience, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, breaking down the situation in Big D. Dak Prescott did leave practice yesterday with shoulder tightness. Does that affect his performance in the 2021 campaign? George, I guess the biggest thing for me is that, you know, Dallas needs him to be healthy, right? If there's another reason why they have to worry about their star quarterback, that's going to put pressure on Zeke Elliott. That's going to put pressure on the offensive line. And you don't want to see Dak miss any amount of time in 2021, right? So you need to get this addressed now. And if there is shoulder tightness, let's say over the next couple of weeks, what do you do in that regard? Do you really just not limit him in practice and not allow him to practice and throw the football?
Well, I truly think this is a nothing injury. That being said, everything you said is true. All right, Dallas needs to, if he can't throw for two more weeks, that'll be August, you know, mid-August. Who cares? Season's still 3 weeks away. He'll be fine. So you don't push Dak until he's ready to return, until the shoulder is healed. If it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, even if it's a month, it's not a huge deal here. One thing this has highlighted, though, the Dallas beat writers, if you follow them on Twitter, you can certainly easy enough, they'll tell you right now, Dallas does not have a backup quarterback. Five interceptions were thrown in practice yesterday. They're terrible. DiNucci, anybody they're throwing out there, they don't have a backup guy. If Dak were to go down for any amount of time, just like last year, the season is done.
Well, they have Garrett Gilbert there, right? I mean, he played well against Pittsburgh.
Saved. He was terrible. All right. The beat writers are telling you. I'm not telling you this. The beat writers are telling you this. The Cowboys don't have a backup quarterback.
Well, Prescott did throw three picks yesterday in practice. So, you know, is that the reason why he threw three picks, is the shoulder tightness? Or is it that he's still a little rusty from 2020? I mean, that's a concern as well. You want to make sure that Dak Prescott, week number one, is hitting on all cylinders when they go on the road to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady.
Oh, that's it. Dak is probably the most important player on the Cowboys. Because if he's not healthy, Dallas has no chance. We know the defense, I think the defense will improve. That being said, that's not saying much. They were horrendous last year. They can't possibly be that bad. But how much can they improve? They need Dak to put up points. The offense is going to have to score 28-plus points a game to win.
When we come back, we'll be talking about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our talk about the NFL training camps, we just discussed Dallas and Dak Prescott with the shoulder tightness. Going to turn our attention, George, to two other teams. Sean Payton yesterday did step out and say that he was very, I want to say, upset or maybe disappointed in terms of the Michael Thomas surgery. You and I have been, you know, discussing the Michael Thomas situation over the past couple of shows, and now when you see the head coach step out and say, why did he wait until June to get the surgery, you have to wonder what the real situation is in the Bayou.
Oh, absolutely. Sean Payton came out and said what we were all thinking. Why did you wait so long? I mean, really, why? I mean, you could have gotten this thing done months ago, 6-7 months ago, after the season's over, get it done. You don't wait a little bit, get it done. And he waited until July. I mean, yeah, if I'm the Saints, I'm upset. I'm really upset. You need every weapon you have to be able to compete this season. And now you just lost really a 30-year offense. I'm more than upset. I'm pissed.
See, and he's got to be pissed as well because you're breaking in basically two quarterbacks, right? Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. You want your star player there. You want the guy that's the best offensive weapon with Alvin Kamara in your offense, right? In order for New Orleans to have a shot, you need Michael Thomas to be healthy. You need him to be motivated. You need him to be an integral part of that offense. And we talked about it. With him out of that lineup, who do they really have? They look like an arena football team league, right? Lineup in terms of the wide receiver position. They don't have a legitimate number one outside threat outside of Michael Thomas. They're going to be a very conservative offense. Now, I guess the bigger question is, Sean Payton's now already made it vocal. How does that affect Michael Thomas? Does he all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm out of New Orleans now, I'm not going to come back? How long does this affect his, you know, absence in that offense this year?
I remember they had issues last year, too. Thomas, Payton, the team. I think he was suspended a game. Got into a fight with the teammate, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So this is something that sort of festered here. Yeah, and did this play a part in it? Oh, screw it. I'll show them. I won't even get a surgery. I'll be out, and we'll see how well they do then. You know, I always wonder if things like that are going through players' heads when they do stuff like this, because, listen, we don't know what happened. Maybe he was told, oh, yeah, rehab, you'll be fine, and then, you know, it didn't heal itself. But it does sound like Payton believed that. You know, it sounds like Payton and the Saints told him to get the surgery in February, March, whatever it is, make sure you're healthy for training camp. And he just waited and waited and waited.
Yeah. I told you before, George, I'm selling their total all year long. 9 on FanDuel, sold. I think 6, possibly a 5-win football team, especially if Thomas is out the first month of the season. I'm sticking to that. I don't care in terms of he could be in. He's not dialed in. I'm selling them the whole way, you know. And don't be shocked if it's like mid-season and Michael Thomas still hasn't suited up for the Saints in 2021. So we'll see what transpires for New Orleans and Sean Payton. The other team I want to bring up right now is Joe Judge and the New York Giants. Kelvin Benjamin cut yesterday in the sense he was trying to resurrect his career as a tight end, and he calls out Joe Judge, basically says that Joe Judge sabotaged him and that's a main reason why, you know, he's not going to be able to get a job in the NFL. And when you look at the specifics about why he was cut, he had a certain weight that he had to report to camp in terms of being the tight end. He was 3 pounds heavier, and that's why they cut him. They actually fined him. He didn't like that. They wound up cutting him. Your thoughts about that situation? Because I side with Joe Judge in terms of that type of situation and scenario.
Yeah, and listen, when you're going for a new position, wide receiver to tight end, you're told you have to do this, that, and the other thing. You better do this, that, and the other thing. The odds were against you anyway. Odds are you're going to be a cut. You know, I don't think he was ever going to make the team. But in some ways, they did him a favor. They cut him early. Now maybe he hooked up with somebody else, but yeah, he trashed them on their way out. That's just player gripes. Really, it's just player gripes. What was he complaining about that old Judge does is curse in practice? You know, really? A coach curses? You're kidding.
In today's age, right, in terms of everything, with social media and we see everything, that's the one thing he was held up on was Joe Judge's bad mouth. Are you kidding me?
Potty mouth. No coach has ever cursed you. They're all nice and, you know, kumbaya and, hey, great job. Come on, they're dropping more form. They dropped more four-letter bombs than really. I mean, it was just silly. It was really just silly. It's playing. He's angry that he didn't make the team. We'll see. But like I said, I think the odds were so stacked against him anyway. I think Tebow has a better chance of making the Jaguars than Benjamin ever did of making the Giants.
Agreed. Totally agree. He's had weight issues since he got to Carolina and when he went to Buffalo, right? I mean, he could never control his weight. He's up to 268 pounds now. I mean, you can't be a tight end, an athletic, smooth type of tight end in terms of that. Your game at the college level was basically 215, 218 in that regard. He came to the NFL, he was like 235 when he first entered the league. So wish him the best, but I'd have no problem in terms of the New York Giants cutting Kelvin Benjamin. The other developing situation goes to Green Bay, right? We saw Aaron Rodgers practice. After practice, he has a 37-minute interview and basically just rips the organization about the players, veteran players that they allowed to leave and go out the door. We see that followed up with Randall Cobb now moving back to Green Bay for a 6th-round draft pick to Houston. Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable in terms of this is the main reason why Aaron Rodgers was upset last year.
I mean, that press conference was great. He held nothing back, right? I mean, he just came out and trashed You know, I mean, he named, what, 12 players that he was upset that they got rid of over the years? Offense and defense. Not just offensive players. I mean, Julius Peppers was named. He went back as far as Charles Woodson. Yeah, when he left, it's like, my God. He had no problem trashing. And what I found most interesting about the whole thing, by the way, is, you know, I don't know if him and his agent didn't talk or whatever it might be, because Adam Schefter had to defend himself as well, because Rogers said, no, I have no control over anything. You know, where Schefter actually said he does have control, right? They have an agreement here, so someone doesn't know what's going on here. So interesting. Does he have control of where he might go after next season, or does he not? Did they just shave a year off? You know, which means that he has no control. It's just weird how the whole thing came out. But you know what? You can't yell at Rogers, because we yell at athletes and they tell us nothing. Now we're going to yell at him when he tells us something?
No.
You and I talk.
We're not going to yell at him for that, George. What I have a problem with is his comments. He says, nobody's going to Green Bay in terms of a vacation spot. They're coming here to play with me and have a run at a possible championship. So it's all about Aaron Rodgers, right? As long as Aaron's happy, doesn't matter about the other players on the team, right? As long as Aaron, you know, it feels like he's in a good spot, that's all that matters to the Green Bay Packers. When the Packers have an actual responsibility to lead this team to a championship, if they feel players or veteran players are aging and not productive, it's their job to ship them out and get younger players like Amari Rodgers in there. Amari Rodgers is a young wide receiver that's a dual threat. You could utilize him in a multitude of schemes and philosophies, but yet Aaron Rodgers wants Randall Cobb, his teammate from 3 years ago, just so the locker room's better. I mean, come on.
That's the one part that it came out bad. There's the part he tried to get by it real quick. I think he realized as he was saying it, oh God, I just said they come here to play with me. I think he understood that that was wrong, and he tried to get right. You know, he tried to get by it real quick because that didn't sound good. That's the one thing. I think if end of everything, if I had to do it all over again for Aaron, he probably wishes he didn't say that. Because that does make him sound like an I, me guy. But everything else he said is really accurate. It probably is accurate. But you don't air those in public like that. And, you know, once they acquired Randall Cobb, the first thing I thought was, man, I don't want Aaron Rodgers to ever be a GM of my team. You know, Cobb hasn't had a good year in 6 years. I mean, really? And you think he's going to turn
really?
It around?
Right.
I thought that was – and that's what you wanted? You wanted Cobb to come back to be happy? I found that – they said it's great that they're close. I guess they're friends, but they did a commercial to go to it together,
right,
whatever it might be. And I guess he likes throwing to him. He's trustworthy. But come on, he's not that guy anymore. So I found that to be really strange.
Yeah, me too, George. And I said it to you. What message are you really sending to the younger players in terms of that team? And by calling out those veteran players, to me, it's like he wanted the support to know that he was in the right in terms of this situation. You know, he brought up a Hall of Famer in Charles Woodson.
Yes,
he brought up Jordy Nelson, right? That's the problem that I have with those comments yesterday. So we'll see how it transpires in Green Bay. When we come back, we'll be doing blind taste tests with George Kurtz and Joe Lisi, running backs. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz breaking down the NFL right now. Yesterday we had an interesting segment. We did a blind test, and I had four sets of two players. They were all quarterbacks. We gave some stats. We allowed George to put on the blindfold and pick his quarterback for 2021. We're gonna turn our attention to the running backs, George. And today's going to be a little more difficult because a lot of the stats are even. You're not going to really have a sense of who's the better player. So let's jump right into it with the first set of players. Player A. Now, these are all running backs, just rushing yards, okay? Player A, 1,067 rushing yards in 2020, had six 100-yard games, three games of two TDs or more, and one of those games for 100 yards came against that solid, dominant defense of the Washington football team. Player B, 1,065 rushing yards, had two 100-yard games. Of those 200-yard games, those came against the Broncos and Browns. Also put up 80-plus on the Saints, 93 on the Carolina defense. George Kurtz, which player are you going with, player A or player B?
Well, originally it was going to be pretty easy for player A because the six 100-yard games compared to two 100-yard games are nice. But, you know, player B, same amount of yards, did go do some damage against good defenses here. But I'm still going with player A here. But this is pretty close. But the six 100-yard games, that's what sells me. Player A.
All right, and that's Nick Chubb over Josh Jacobs. Now, here's an interesting statistic, George, is that he rushed for 1,067 in 2020, right? So this is your guy for 2021 on FanDuel right now, 1,350 and a half for Nick Chubb this season.
1,350 for all intents and purposes. Let's do a little math here. Now he is going to split some time with Hunt, and that's
right.
always going to be a problem with him. I think last year he got hurt for a bit too. So that's why his numbers were a little low. So you're talking to reach that number. That's 80 yards a game. All right, that's some doing some damage here. And I like Cleveland. I like Cleveland a lot. With Hunt there, he has to stay healthy. I'm going to take the under here. That's a big jump for him. I'm going to take. I think he's going to have a great year. I want him in fantasy, but I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I would too, just because you mentioned he's banged up a little bit last year. Kareem Hunt rushed for over 800 yards in that Cleveland offense, and both players catch the football, right? So does he increase maybe his receptions this year and yardage is in the area of maybe 1180, 1250 in that area? It would still be 100 rushing yards less than what he needs to get at 1351. So we'll see how that plays out. George likes Nick Chubb over Josh Jacobs this year. Player A in set number two, George, rushed for 1,070 yards in 2020, four 100-yard games. Three of those came against the Titans, Packers, and Chargers. Okay, that's player A. Player B, you ready for this? 1,070 rushing yards last year, three 100-yard games. 146 of those came against the Vikings, 89 against the Saints, and 82 against the Giants. Which player are you taking, player A or player B in 2021?
All right, there's not really much to go for here as far as trying to separate the guys. Same amount of rushing yards. One guy had one more 100-yard game. Three against Tennessee, Green Bay, Chargers. Yes, I write this down. And the other one, Minnesota, New Orleans, Giants. He's sort of just playing Tennessee, Green Bay, good, the Chargers. I mean, I'll take the extra 100-yard game, but this is a coin toss. In all honesty, it's a coin toss. There's nothing here really differentiates. I'll just take the extra 100-yard game here.
Okay, I think you're going to be sorry about this pick. Okay, maybe we could debate this. Player A is James Robinson. Player B is David Montgomery.
Yeah,
so you know Montgomery's going to get the rock this year, right? Does James Robinson going to split time with Travis Etienne, no?
Yeah, you know me. I've criticized this pick a bunch. It's nothing against Etienne. I think he's going to be a fine player. I just would not have made this pick if I was a Jacksonville Jaguars. You have James Robinson. Not that instant. He's not Barkley, McCaffrey, you know, anybody of that ilk, but he's a solid running back. It wasn't a position of need. And running back is also easier to fill than the other positions you needed here. I would not have spent that pick on Etienne. So, but yes, as far as this is concerned, yeah, I'm sorry. I'd much rather have Montgomery over Robinson because he doesn't have as much a challenger. Oops.
Right. I mean, when I broke it down, I was shocked at both players 1,070, right? But, I mean, I think just on paper, we agree. David Montgomery, the more complete back, the more important piece of that Chicago offense in 2021. All right, this is another difficult one, but two up-and-coming players. You ready? Player A last year, 805 rushing yards, two 100-yard games. One of those games came against the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers defense in 2020. Player B, 803 rushing yards, same amount of 100-yard games, too. One of those games came against the dominant defense of the Buffalo Bills. You're taking player A or player B in 2021?
Oh, got another really complete toss up here. Listen, I think the Buffalo Bills are a better defense here, so I'm going to take player B because I think Buffalo's better defense than Pittsburgh even last year. But once again, this is also... Yeah, I'm just searching for any reason he had to go with one player over the other. So I'll take the fact that the player B did it against Buffalo rather than player A against Pittsburgh.
Okay, now we're not talking, just so you know, journeyman running backs, right? We're not talking about the top four in the NFL. We're talking about those mid-tier guys, right? Those players from 12 to maybe 20, right? So when you think about both of those players, you're taking player B. That's Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of Kansas City, the speedster at LSU. Player A is J.K. Dobbins from the Baltimore Ravens. So he had a bigger part of that offense in the second half of last year, taking over for Gus Edwards. I think Dobbins could have a bigger upside in terms of production because of the ability for Baltimore to pound the rock, right? They led the NFL 191 last year per game. That was first in the league. So does he have a bigger part of that offense to take the pressure off of Lamar Jackson, or do you still feel Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in terms of his ability to stay healthy, can overproduce in 2021?
Well, I think that's upside to both guys. I do. I completely agree with you about what you're saying about Dobbins and that Baltimore offense. We know they got to run the ball. We know. If you think in fantasy terms, then I probably don't want Dobbins because Lamar Jackson steals too many touchdowns. You know, that sort of issue. I think Edwards-Helaire, now, if we go in fantasy, he ticked off a lot of owners last year because people expected bigger things out of him. He was going to have a monster year because no one was ever going to play the run there because you're worried about Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, and all those guys, that he was never going to see a seven-man box, never going to see an eight-man box, and he could run all day. Didn't happen, except for the one game against Buffalo. I think it was played in a rainstorm on a Monday night in Buffalo, if I remember correctly. Other than that, he was very disappointing. Right, very disappointing, but I think both will be better this year. As far as NFL-wise, I think I would still go Edwards-Helaire. I think I like his upside a little bit more, but it's not a huge gap here. But give me
no, they're right there. They're right there. You know, and I wasn't a big fan of Dobbins coming out of Ohio State. Thought he had shorter arms, which would lead to fumble issues. He's been good so far. We'll see how he produces in 2021. Last set of players, okay? 700 player A, 795 rushing yards last year, two 100-yard games, George, both against the same defense. Player B, 867 last year, two 100-yard games. One of those games came against the dominant Baltimore defense. You taking player A or player B this season?
Would really like to know that defense that guy had, the player A had the 200-yard games against, just to see if it was any kind of good defense. The fact that you left it out leads me to believe it was a bad defense, just for if I'm trying to read between the lines here. Listen, without that information being known, I got to go with player B. He had almost 75 more yards, same amount of 100-yard games. I'll go with player B here, but I am curious about player A.
All right, so player A is Antonio Gibson. The defense was your Dallas Cowboys.
I knew it, you bastard.
And player B in conference, Philadelphia, Miles Sanders. Now, Miles Sanders is a good back. I'm not sold on him. I think he's just, you know, a middle-of-the-road back. I know he's had great success in terms of the early part of his career. I think what you see is what you get here. I think he's right in that area, 800-900 yards, even with Jalen Hurts, even with Jalen Reagor and Devonta Smith in that lineup in 2021. I don't know if Sanders eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark this season, especially with the offensive line issues for the Eagles. I'd be all in on Antonio Gibson. He'd be my guy. Both of these players,
I would probably agree with you. I'm not a Sanders guy either. I think he will be better this year than last. He had problems catching the ball last year, which is just strange for what should be a strength of his. But we also have to remember last year that offensive line for Philadelphia was in shambles, and I don't think that'll happen this year. I also expect the quarterback play to be better, more consistent, which should lead defenses to have to play things more honest. And I like the fact that they added at the wide receiver position, which should, once again, help the running game here. I don't think Philadelphia is going to be terrible this year. I don't. I think they are rebuilding, but I don't think they're not going to be a 3-14 team. I think they can do some damage here. I do like Gibson as well, you know, and I think Washington, oh, man, this Washington, as a Cowboy fan, Washington scares me, because if that offense can just be average, if they're above average, everyone's in a lot of trouble in that division. But if they can just be average, if Gibson is the guy, I know you're higher on him than I am, but if he is that guy, it could be a big season for him.
How about this? They don't have a player prop listed on FanDuel, but I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think Antonio Gibson could be a 1,200-yard rusher this year. I really do. As long as he stays healthy, I think he could spearhead that offense. And, you know, they like to pound the rock. You look at his production over the course of the second half of the season, they're going to need him. And that's basically their recipe, right? They don't want to have to pass 50 times a game with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Even though he's a good decision maker, you don't want to rely solely on the old man leading this offense.
No, I'm starting to come around with this. So you've been on him for a couple of shows now, and I'm starting to come around to your thinking here, because if he can, they want to play close games, right? They don't want to throw the ball down the field. That's not what their offense is going to be about. You know, if they have to throw the ball, it means things aren't going their way. They know that defense is dynamic. So I'm starting to come around with this. 1,200 yards, 71 yards a game. I think it's possible, but I'm not.
Come over to the dark side, George. When we come back, we'll be talking about the NFL tight end position. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation about player props, we broke down the running backs in the previous segment. Going to turn our attention right now to the tight ends in 2021. George, when you just look at production from the tight ends, every team wants to be able to duplicate the production of Darren Waller over the past couple of years, 197 total receptions, over 2,000 receiving yards, 12 receiving touchdowns, one of the most elite athletic tight ends in the NFL today. But there are a couple other guys like George Kittle, like Logan Thomas. You mentioned Zach Ertz a couple of weeks ago in terms of possibly moving on. But, I mean, NFL teams, if they can get solid production out of the tight end, most likely they're going to make a title run. And it's something that fantasy owners are looking to just nail each and every football season, no?
Yeah, tight ends become a very difficult position in fantasy because they just aren't enough of them.
Can you explain why to me, George? Because we see guys put up numbers. Is it just because it's not on a consistent basis? You don't get that production outside of maybe Waller and Kittle and Kelce week to week?
Well, the reason why is simple. You have four top ones and then everybody else. And then also it's about a bunch of blah. Where you can just, they're all in the same boat. I mean, we love Kelce, Waller, Kittle. Maybe you want to put Andrews in there. I think he's in a tier all by himself. I think Kelce, Waller, and Kittle are all in the first top tier. Andrews maybe in a tier all by himself. Catch the ball, Mark. Catch the ball. You seem to have a problem catching the ball. And that becomes more interesting, right? I don't know what to make of Kyle Pitts, because generally, through the history of football, first-year tight ends don't do much. It's just a difficult position to learn. It takes time, but they may force the ball to him because they have to. He was fourth overall pick. You didn't take a quarterback. You traded the wide receiver. You know, no more Julio Jones. You need Pitts to be almost great right away for this really team to have any chance to work. Hockenson, not much there now. No Galladay. Maybe he makes that next step. I like Goddard in Philadelphia. We'll like him a lot more if Ertz goes bye-bye. We don't have to worry about him stealing catches. Logan Thomas at Washington just signed a contract extension. I like him.
Right. I love Logan Thomas. Love him. But here's the thing, though, too, George, is that look at the playoff run, right? Austin Hooper had a big game against Pittsburgh, didn't he, in terms of that victory over the Steelers, right? And then Cameron Brait, didn't he step up against Washington? He was basically the main weapon for Tom Brady, even scored a touchdown against Green Bay. So there are players outside maybe the elite guys that could still get good and solid production in 2021.
Yeah, but you're talking fantasy now. No one cares about Brady in fantasy. You got to worry about Gronk being there. And Brady's
BFF. But is Gronk going to be there in the regular
season? OJ Howard
as
well.
Is he going to be there in the regular season?
Gronk, see why he
for the most
be.
Part?
You know, there's no tight end on Tampa Bay that's a tight end one. They're just not, because they're all going to, you know, eat each other. That's what they do. They just, you know, you're not going to get any points there. There are other guys you'd rather have. Tight end in fantasy, it comes down to this. Either you're drafting one early. Kelsey's going in round one in a lot of leagues, no further round two. Waller's not that far behind, and Kittle's not that far behind that. So either you're drafting a tight end, one of those three, in the first three rounds, and you'd be lucky to get any of these guys in round three, or you wait. You just wait. Because after that, like I said, it's a mess where they're all sort of the same. You know, maybe then you went to round 8, 9, you go grab a Hawk or a Goddard, Logan Thomas. I'm fine with that. And if you don't want those guys, you can wait till round 12 and just take what's left. Maybe you go to Irv Smith in Minnesota now that Rudolph's not there. Gesicki in Miami, we'll see. Maybe you want to believe in Ingram and the Giants this year.
I was just going to bring him up from just a route running perspective. Evan Ingram is the real deal. I mean, he was that way in Oxford at Ole Miss. Problem is that he hasn't been able to hold on to the football, and that's the main reason why Daniel Jones is sort of iffy to go to him in critical spots. So if he could catch the football, I mean, that offense gets considerably better for the New York Giants. I'm high on Ingram in the sense of upside in terms of athletic ability, but he is like stone hands in a critical spot. I do want to bring up Waller and some of the top tight ends, and we'll go through their props for 2021. These are on DraftKings, so let's talk about Waller, right? He had 107 receptions last year, over 1,100 receiving yards. Now you get the extra game. They have a prop of him right there in terms of 1,050.5. So, I mean, in terms of 1,050.5, I mean, that's got to be... That's got to be definitely doable in terms of that, no?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he doesn't reach that, the Raiders are in a lot of trouble. It means things didn't go well for them at all if Wallace not reached that. He is that kind of player. He might be the number one the number one option in their offense. He is that good. He is the real deal. The only tight end I will tell you that I'm absolutely taking over him is Kelce. That's it. After that, I want Waller. And if you play in a league... as far as fantasy is concerned, where tight ends get bonus points. Sometimes some leagues play tight ends, get 1.5 per reception. They're trying to build them up to be equal with wide receivers. I have no problem taking him a high second round. No problem at all. Because, once again, tight end is thin. Tight end is thin. You get one of the top ones, it theoretically does put you at an advantage. But as far as your 1,050, he's surpassed that the past 2 years easily.
Right, so and with the extra game, you would have to think in terms of even money that that's a pretty good bet in terms of taking that for Darren Waller. I mean, the only thing that you could get screwed in is if he gets injured. But, I mean, it looks like, you know, as long as he's healthy, he is the elite tight end, him and Kelce this year.
Love it. Like I said, that's an easy one for me. We've already gone through the numbers. He surpassed it in 16-game season. Now you get the extra game, 60 yards a game. And like I said, if he doesn't, it probably does mean to me he got hurt. I think it's the only way he doesn't get it, in which case, hey, what are you going to do?
Right, exactly. What about Kittle? Now, Kittle struggled in terms of his production because he was injured last year, right? Now, we don't know still who's going to start in that offense, whether it's Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo, but 1,050.5 on DraftKings for George Kittle in terms of his player prop. I think he could surpass that easy, even with Debo Samuel in that offense this year.
Yeah, this is more interesting because he does generally miss games, right? Missed 8 last year, 2 the year before that. Then he played a full season, 1 the year before that. He's only surpassed that number that we're talking about twice, and once he did it by, you know, a couple of yards. So you do worry, then you bring up the quarterback. All right, well, what if it's going to be the rookie eventually? They're going to go to him. You know, there's no way Garoppolo starting 16, 17 games this season. That's not happening. You don't trade up for a rookie quarterback like that and then not play him. So Lance is going to play. So I'm going to have some worry here. Normally I would feel great about this. I really would. I would chalk up the injury last year. Okay, bad luck. It happens. It's football. Nasty game. So normally it wouldn't bother me. But I'm going to have some hesitation. I'm going to have some hesitation this year with George Kittle. That being said, he stays healthy with 17. He passes this number pretty easily.
All right. So I'm on it, too. I think he's going to be a main component of that offense. Here's two lower players, right? You know I'm high on Logan Thomas. Hunter Henry for New England now. In that offense, even with Cam Newton, if he starts a whole season, 500.5 is his player prop on DraftKings. I think that's easily doable in that offense. He is going to be a main weapon. I know he's shown inconsistency over the last few years, but still, I know he's been banged up as well. But in a new team in that offense where they like to run the football and utilize the tight end, he's going to be a main weapon for whoever starts, whether it be Mac Jones or Cam Newton this year.
I mean, the number's low. I mean, it's 30 yards a game. You're asking for nothing here. And Hunter Henry's a good tight end who really should be better than what he's done so far. He's had some injury problems as well. Always seems to be banged up on the IL report every week. He's a frustrating player. You have to worry about Janu Smith. He's also there. But they,
yeah, but
they run two
Smith,
tight end sets
they,
before.
Yeah, they're going to use two. They're going to use two in that scheme, right? But I think Hunter Henry is a mismatch nightmare in the red zone.
Yeah, the red zone doesn't help us. We're not talking touchdowns here. We're talking yardage here. I need yardage. That being said, I like it. If he can't get 30 yards a game, why do they sign him? Really, why just sign him if you're not going to use him for more than 30 yards a game? I don't like Cam at quarterback, but he does. He's good at throwing the short passes somewhat, and that's what Hunter Henry will do here. His accuracy is more into the secondary where he has lots of issues there. And I say it all the time, Mac Jones, I expect to play eventually, but what do young quarterbacks like? A nice big target that's close to the line of scrimmage, and that's your tight end. So I don't think Henry or Geno Smith, for that matter, their production would stop all that much. It's 30 yards a game. 30 yards. It's all I need you to average to get that total here. I like the over.
I love that bet. I love that. 500 and a half. I think you can get in the area of 700-800 this year in that offense. They're going to utilize the tight end. That was the one component that was missing from that offense over the last 3 years, and that's why they became a run-heavy offense in 2020. All right, let's talk about Logan Thomas. I love him. You like him. Do you think he could surpass his total this year? It's low. 600 and a half on DraftKings.
Yeah, I do, and I like him a bunch. I just traded for him a little while ago in my Dynasty League because I needed a tight end. Thank you, O.J. Howard, for ruining it for me. So just traded for him. I expect, I'm not going to think he's ever going to be in the tier with a Waller, Kelsey, Kittle, or anybody like that, but I think he could jump up to a tight end that could get, I don't think 850, 900 yards is out of the question here for Logan Thomas. I think it's going to be that kind of offense as it is. I think the big thing for the Washington football team is reining in Fitzpatrick. They don't want him throwing the ball recklessly into the secondary and putting their defense, which is great, you know, in a bad spot here. So I think that's where Logan Thomas comes in. Safe play here. I think he's only going to get better. I love Logan Thomas.
Okay. This is the one where I think we're in disagreement because, you know, it's a high number. And he comes with high expectations. 800 and a half on Kyle Pitts. Now, I don't even think he comes close to that number this year. I really don't. I think he's in the area of maybe 400. I know that we said about the production of tight ends coming into the league. I know Julio Jones isn't there. But that offensive line is weak. You have Mike Davis that comes over from Carolina. The running game isn't consistent. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Matty Ice this year. And I'm not, again, he's old. He didn't show me a lot in a big spot last year. Kyle Pitts to basically get over 800 yards this year in the first year in the offense with Arthur Smith, even though he utilizes the tight end. You think that's easy in terms of that bet right now?
No. I already told you the numbers. The numbers of tight ends, first year tight ends, are terrible. They generally take time to mature, time to learn the system, time to learn chemistry at the quarterback, the route tree, everything, blocking schemes, and everything else you have to learn there. That being said, I think Atlanta is going to do everything they can to get him involved as quick as possible because there's not much else here. You traded Julio Jones, you got Calvin Ridley, which I like, Russell Gage, okay, your running game, you know, he's going to have to be involved here. This is a no bet for me. I'm not going to take the under. I'm not taking the over.
I'm taking the under there. I feel very confident in terms of that 800 and a half. That's the one bet out of all the draft picks that I like the most. And I know everybody's saying he's going to put up dynamic numbers. I just don't see it. I think that team is garbage. I'm not sold on Matty Ice either, but we'll see. We'll see what transpires in 2021. I mean, if there's one tight end that doesn't get enough hype, it's got to be Tanyan in terms of Green Bay, right? Steps up in a big game. He's an intricate part of that offense with Aaron Rodgers. Can you see him actually going over his total in 2021? I'm trying to look for it right now. I think it's in the area of about 650 on DraftKings, George.
Well, what made Tanyan valuable in fantasy leagues last year was the touchdowns. And I don't think that's coming. Man, that's just luck. You know, he just happened to be a touchdown guy last year. I do think Rodgers likes him. Yeah, you know, once again, big target got open, but he only had 600 yards last year, not even, a little less. Do I think he could do better than that this year? I do. I don't think Randall Cobb's going to take it away from him all that much. So I would need to know his prop to give you the exact over-under there. But I think if I'm going to project for him, I'm going to say he caught 52 balls last year. Let's give him about a 15% bump there, so somewhere around 60 yardage. Same thing. Give him another 10, 15% there, so 650 yards. So give me that.
I would go under on that because we went through their schedule. It is not easy. They play a lot of top 10 defense. this year in 2021. So I would go under for Tanyan this coming season in terms of his prop bets. When we come up back, we'll be wrapping up the show. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we talked about the running backs, talked about the tight ends. We're going to talk about our week one matchup, George. We broke down some games over the course of the week. How about this game, week number one? It's Tennessee. Your Tennessee Titans, -3 on FanDuel over Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. You like the Titans week one over Arizona early on?
It's a good measuring. It's a good game for both teams. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Cardinals. And Kingsbury going to get everything right here about what's going on there. They sort of choked at the end of last year, not making the playoffs. -3 for Tennessee. I'm probably not touching that. I think it's about right.
You're not touching that? Game. I like Arizona. Yeah.
I really like Tennessee. I sort of lean more towards Tennessee. But usually defense is ahead of offense earlier on. We're hearing what J.J. Watt now has got some issues. He's on the PUP. Chandler Jones wants to be traded. So I don't like Arizona. I said I'll wait to see on this game, but I would not place an early bet on this. I definitely lean more towards Tennessee.
Well, I might be able to entice you. The total is 51.5 on FanDuel at even money -110 either way. You just mentioned Chandler Jones wants out. J.J. Watt might not even be available week one. I mean, the way this lingers with a hamstring could be October before he suits up. They have no defense anyway outside of Buda Baker. Zaven Collins is a rookie. Isaiah Simmons, a second-year guy. Kyler Murray in that offense. Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk. You taking the over, Georgie?
Yeah, I mean, until we find out more about their defensive players, but yes, I am definitely leaning over. Although generally, we have to remember, usually early in the season, defense is ahead of offense. But still, I always lean towards the overs here because that's what the NFL wants. The NFL wants the high scoring games. I also wonder this early on: are there going to be a lot of penalties called? See how the Zebras are affecting games.
Well, I'll tell you this. Out of all the week one games that we've broken down so far, this has to be the one for me in terms of all in on the over. I'm locked and loaded on that 51.5. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. See you tomorrow.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.